Thank you very much.
Yes, proceed, but you must unmute yourself, Honorable Mpumza. You are on mute. Honorable Mpumza? You are still on mute. I'll go to the next person.
Thank you very much, sir.
Sure.
Thank you very much, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, proceed.
Thank you very much, sir.
Are you struggling, sir?
Honorable Mpumza, can you go to that neighbor's house where you could hear you properly? Because if you are in your house, we can hear you. In the past, you told us you go to the
Apologies for that. I hope that Hichi Sokoni would have to come and improve this infrastructure, because I mean, he's really, I would like to, in welcoming the report from the Eastern Cape, I would like to
hear you. Yes, proceed.
No, it has not put a signal.
Am I not able not? Chairperson?
You seem not to have a signal. Either text to us, ask it. We can't hear you at all. I think you can send your questions. Honorable Mpumza, we can't hear you. Either text, send us your questions. We'll ask them on your behalf. Unfortunately, you are not audible at all. Or I'll try. After everybody, I'll try to come back to you. Maybe your reception will be better then. Can we agree along those lines? Yes, Honorable Tawa, we'll put Honorable Mpumza on hold for now.
Well, Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity again. Chair, if I may ask to the,
all right.
To the Honorable MEC, who's the owner of the Amatola water? Why this Amatola water are so important in the OR Tambo municipality? And also, in the presentation of the MEC, she was silent on the issue that was on the cutting edge TV all over the country. about the Enyangeni anybody and Bindwin, where the coffee was crossing the river by the Isikepa, I know my Isikepa, no, Ushaga Leandro. Why the MEC was silent on that? That it was putting the government, it was embarrassing the government of the Eastern Cape, that thing. Why the MEC was silent on that? And again, Chair, if I may ask you to the MEC, because he said he's the one who's head counselor. I can agree with you, Chair, about that. what you are saying about the chasing councillors. If the OR jump, the councillors will be chased, will be reshuffled, is the one that is, they are coming with the truth of mismanaging money in that municipality, because there is a crew that is milking that a municipality. This is why the MEC is saying he's the one who chased councillors. I'll be happy, MEC, if you'll chase those who are stealing money in the municipality of OR Tambo, not those who are talking truth, to shut them out, to shut them mouth. If you are dealing with a corruption MEC, serious corruption, I wanted to say to the MEC, Jefferson, why the 3 billion was written off, who was mismanaged in the OR Tambo, irregular expenditure, 3 billion rand was no consequences, and after that was written off. But this MEC claiming that is fighting corruption, can he come out and come clean in that 3 billion was written off in the OR Tambo? That 3 billion was mismanaged in irregular expenditure that was funded by AG. We want the MEC to become clean and clear in this issue of 3 billion. If he is the one who fighting corruption, who's having councillors who are eating money, and at the MEC, why it was taking so long about the MM of OR Tambo and municipality, the MM that was dealing, was mismanaging the municipality. The MM is the accounting officer, MEC. He was supposed to account to you if the mayor was lazy to hold him accountable. You were supposed to hold the MM accountable and ask about the money that is mismanaged in that municipality. Why was the shooting of the speaker? Why speaker was being shot and gunned down their protectors? Why? And after this money was lost, there is a people who come and gunshot the speaker and his protectors were died. Or maybe this money who was lost in this money was buying in God. We are your king in God, the Bulan speaker. We don't want the explanation, Jefferson. Can the MEC know that? Tina, we don't want the explanation, we want the action. We want the action, and the action by the truth. Not the action because you don't know who ban or can't ban, can't ban. Why speaker a tutura? Ututura and speak. Why am I protector speaker a fee, the MEC? A felon. Why ever after imali la segi le o amta? Le o mandu kuti yone segi kamzo kula la bantu la o amta. Hai, what darling at MEC? Uzo stiali denge kula. Uzo stiali denge kuti la ukosha wako matante la sindu angene. Uwa kose lukin. Funa kustia la lama kama wako suti. Enzan. E wrong mpela. Uzo take lo jizyo kwa kosha. Because, singa, ngenze gala. Why kufa banga ba kumi kini so aba kamba banga ba right? In money as the OR Tambo, you must come clear about the money as the OR Tambo, MEC. What it mean, MEC, I can advise you that don't investigate yourself. Tell the national to investigate the OR Tambo municipality. When I keep on, because if you investigate yourself, you won't come with a clear outcome because you defend yourself. Tell the national to come to put the investigation there so that when you'll be clean and hear from the investigation, come from the national, the outcome, the clear outcome about the investigation. Thank you, Chair. And sorry, Chair. Chair, sengivala nje chair. In this 26 Democrats, we still have people who don't have water. Still empty. We still have people who don't have a bridge. But those people are falling under the OR Kiambu district. In this 3 billion, yagi lati bridge or lapa empty. Let 3 billion a right to offer. Lati those it's so next. The business as usual. Ukon imali lapan. Athi zamasela intonja uwethulu MC akasikeli la kule presidentini ukuthi uthini ngale 3 billion ehamba kodwa noma right off kodwa no nothing is happened, everything is fine, the MM must sit. Jozu, I want to emphasize what you are saying here about the MM suspension ukuthi u MEC angabe sekuthathi chance yokudisciplina okanye arishafule laba bantu abase decision oqosho lo MM omilka I municipality mali. Akabheke kahle ngoba uma enza kanjalo nathi soza ngenye indlela. Ngoba nathi sesikhathele ukuntshwa kwemali yabantu abaphuwa. Khona manje impindo nabantu bakhona baphuza amanzi embongolo MEC, but ukhona. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I see this is close to your heart, Mam Kiss. Honorable Feza.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yay. Yeah. Loud and clear.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right. Proceed. No, thank you for that, Chair. Look, Chair, mine was not to say that perhaps I agree or I condone that there was apartheid or there was no apartheid and the legacy of apartheid and so on. Mine was on the role of the province, because it is a clear secret that the province has not is amongst the most corrupt provinces. And as Mam Kize, Honorable Mkize has just explained the situation in OR Tambo. So I'm saying that MEC, you have failed to demonstrate that you have the ability to build quality hospitals within the period you have been given by voters. I'm not talking about whether you are going to retract that statement. I cared less about that. Whether you retract it or not, it's immaterial to me. I'm saying you are given 26 years by the people, and then you do not show evidence within that time and of having to build or even to maintain the deplorable state of public hospitals. That is within your jurisdiction, let alone to your department building quality clinics that are 24 hours if your department is not a department of hospitals. So my interest my argument, Chair, is not on apartheid. I was just asking about why do we always use the apartheid, because that statement is very, very tedious. Now it's wide open. You become wide open, a readable book to even a kindergarten, that now you are scratching the roof and trying to promote, to put in the forefront a propaganda rather than service delivery. And ours here in this committee is to ask about service delivery, not anything else. So, and you have not demonstrated that you have done that, unfortunately, because there's OR Tambo as evidence. And number two, in terms of homelessness, MEC, for COCTA, or can you explain this? There's 377 homeless people in Nelson Mandela Metro. I want to know the program of why didn't you involve this report there, and in your presentation, because those people have challenges of security and they are pregnant people in Daku Hall, and what programs does the MEC have in terms of those people that are expecting within that wall, you know, during COVID-19, and what preventative measures have you put in place for those expecting mothers there? That's the point of interest. And then, Chair, I was not answered on the question of Ngqushwa Municipality, the province's plan in terms of rural municipality that didn't have water even pre COVID-19. So that means we must accept in the committee that there's no report about providing water to people, and there's no future intervention in terms of that. So we are going to take it like that there's nothing that's going to be done for those people, and they must take it in that spirit. And I'm glad that Honorable Khatebe has touched on the issue of 1,387 teachers infected and 48 deaths. And I wanted to bring another angle to this question. You know, how many deaths should be recorded in order for the province to realize that teachers and students must be protected against the virus? What scientific evidence did you have in opening schools in the province for vulnerable teachers and students? And if you have these numbers, why are you continuing opening schools? That's the question there. And perhaps it could assist in terms of giving us a way forward. So there's another statement that has been made, Chair, that certain people have, people who are coming from funerals get COVID-19 or get infected by corpses, by deceased people. And I don't know what scientific evidence is that deceased people will, by virtue of you attending the funeral, where there is a deceased people, you'll be positive. I don't know why. Where is that coming from? Can the province clarify us on that? Thank you, Chair. I'll come back, Chair.
I wonder if you'll have that time again. Honorable Adebe.
We should.
Honorable Adebe.
Thank you so much, Chair. I am still awaiting ESCOM to come back, so I wouldn't be able to switch on my camera. Chair, I'd like to make a follow-up. First, let me start with the MEC of Health. Indeed, MEC, I agree with you, and I fully concur that South Africa is a constitutional democracy, and the Bill of Rights is the cornerstone of our democracy in South Africa. However, MEC, here we are dealing with a pandemic, and our efforts and actions should be about saving lives. The question is that, is the MEC saying to us that the rest of 14,383 active cases, all these people are able to self-isolate? Has the department thought about verifying whether or not some of these patients are indeed able to self-isolate? How many beds do you currently have for quarantine and isolation? And how many, Chair, there's a audio that is disturbing me. Someone.
Take them out of the take them out, Chair.
Your microphone, you've muted your microphone, Chair.
Who's doing that is the DG of DCOC. I really don't know what must I do with the whole accounting officer disrupting
him. Him out.
Proceed.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. MEC, I wanted to ask that has the department thought of verifying whether or not all these patients that are not in isolation or self-quarantine from the state are indeed able to self-isolate? And how many beds do you currently have that are available for quarantine and isolation? How many of those are active and utilized? The question that I also pose is that as a province, do you have issues with the stigmatization of this pandemic? And if you do, what are the measures in place to deal with such a stigma? The second question will to the MEC of Health. Indeed, your intentions were good in relation to the challenges in the Eastern Cape of ambulance not able to reach certain households. But I think your intervention leaves much to be desired. Hence, I would like to get an understanding when it comes to these scooters, whose idea was it to spend millions purchasing these scooters? And did you take into account the dignity of patients when they will be transported in a scooter for everyone to see that right now Ubegi is sick, is taken to hospital by a scooter, because that scooter is open for everyone to see? And I am interested in getting to know at what speed are these scooters traveling at? Because my understanding is that anyone that is using a motorbike ought to have a helmet on. Now, in this instance, have you taken into account also the safety of the patient if they will be transported in a scooter without having a helmet? And I would like to get your view and the sense in the retrospect. Do you honestly think the decision to purchase these scooters, given the outcry from the public, was a correct decision? I'd like to get your thought and opinion that in retrospect, do you think the decision was correct given the outcry? I understand the intention was genuine, but the implementation and the intervention leaves much to be desired. Chair, moving right along to the MEC of local government and traditional affairs. I am happy that the MEC is saying is the first MEC to take action against councillors. Now, the case of O.R. Tambo, of the municipal manager that was suspended without following due process as per Chapter 2, Regulation 2.6, Subsection 2 of the Municipal Systems Act. What is the MEC going to do in relation to all these councillors who have participated in taking the decision that was premeditated and procedurally flawed? MEC, do you think only telling them to rectify their decision, it is sufficient enough for you to effect consequence management? I'm raising this question because even in the reports from Auditor General, he's stating the fact that the province seemed to be tolerant on mismanagement of funds, on effecting consequence management into maladministration. So MEC, by only telling them to rectify their decision, do you think that action is sufficient to effect consequence management? Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Okay, Honorable, the next speaker is Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, I didn't think my question was asked or answered directly. It's in terms of the instruction number 5 of 2021, instructions of the PMFMA that was issued by the Treasury. So I'm going to take it as knowledgeable and that they did implement it. So firstly, then I want to ask if they can give me a risk management report in terms of the procurement of the PPEs, as well as the scooters, and an internal audit report on both, and then the prices with proof of evidence in terms of invoices for those. And then, Chairperson, I want to make a quick statement in terms of the apartheid kind of thing that was set. MEC, I want to tell you there's 9 provinces in South Africa. As Eastern Cape, you receive more or less the third most money from national government, and yet you're the worst province in South Africa. You must stop using apartheid as a scapegoat and own up. You are in the executive. Own up to your responsibilities and do it diligently. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable.
John.
No, I said I'm gonna call you. No. Honorable Mpumza.
Yes, sir.
You have got an echo. You are not audible. We've given you another option to write your questions because you have got connection challenge. That's still the same thing now. You are not audible. So I think just submit your questions. I can do that or ask another member to do that for you. Do it in writing because the network is failing you completely, Honorable Mpumza. We can hear you this side. Let me move to Honorable Brink.
Chair, I'm not going to put on my camera. ESCOM is also caught up on this side.
Okay.
What is there to say about comments made by the MECs? I think really it's embarrassing. The defense of these glorified wheelbarrows by the health MEC and the defense of the comments made by the COGTA MEC. And I just want to say to the COGTA MEC that people who are involved in corruption need more stress. They need more pressure now, not less. Let me move on, Chair. I don't think the question was asked how many ICU beds, high care beds, field hospital beds are available at present as compared to how many are needed to achieve the objectives that are contained in the presentation. So what is the chasm that you need to cross in order to be ready for the peak in hospitalization? That's not clear from the presentation. The previous province that we had before the committee had a clear assessment of what they need, where they're talking to the private sector. There's none of that here. So if you don't know it, Chair, can I ask that they give it to us in writing? Then lastly, Chair, the remarks made by the official responsible for district management on the district development model, saying that it's been validated and institutionalized in the OR Tambo district municipality and that it is working very well, if I could use that as a paraphrase. The problem is that nothing is working well in the OR Tambo district municipality. I'm looking at an invoice here and I'm not going to go on about it because it was before the committee. 3 million rand paid for door-to-door awareness of COVID on a handwritten invoice without a VAT number, paid by the OR Tambo District Municipality. Now, if this is the district development model in action, institutionalized and validated, I don't think it should be anywhere in the country. I think there is more to be said about what exactly is going on in OR Tambo. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Can I come in? Can I come in, Chair? Please.
It's honorable members. No,
okay, all right.
Given you an opportunity, they are still other members. Ne? I'm still following the list. Didn't I give you an opportunity? You omitted something. Do it properly. Honorable Stein.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I appreciate. I want to say that I'm missing Mum Kees in a land reform portfolio. That's where we met each other in the past. I'm missing that passion from her. Chairperson, I just want to start off with the question about the breakdown of the budget. The 2.2 billion rand that was spent by the health department in the Eastern Cape. Linked to the question around beds, readiness and preparedness of what we have for ICU and so forth, can we get down a breakdown of that full 2.2 billion rand of what it was spent on? Chair, I'm not going to make a comment now either to say that the MEC, Gomba, you can ask about me in the district municipality. I was thrown out of Empilis Feni twice for trying to go and do oversight in this district on health facilities. So I have referred to a report by this department to say that in the end of August, 120 beds will be ready in Jogarbi district. But the own reports from the department itself says in 6 months, in 2 months, in 4 months. I know what's going on in McLean Hospital. The beds is one part. Do we have staff? Do we have oxygen? Because a patient cannot help themselves just with a bed. The toilets needs to be built. All of the other facilities. So the report from the department on just telling us about beds is one-fifth of what we need to at the end of the day have a patient in that hospital. So when we get the breakdown, we want a bed, a toilet, a nurse, oxygen, and everything with that to say that we are ready. Before we don't see that, we are not ready. Then, Chairperson, I've just received a very, very disturbing news that currently the police have opened up fire on community health workers in Bishop. The reason for that is that apparently the health workers who are community health workers who has been employed under a casualization situation since 1992, and they have to sign new contracts every 3 months where they're protesting, and the HOD or the SG, Mr. Mbengaza, decided to send the police rather to these healthcare workers. So would the MEC make a comment here now of what's going on, and why are healthcare workers being casualized for 3 months period since 1992 in the Eastern Cape while we're having a crisis currently? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Stein. Honorable Faber.
Partly covered. No, Chair, I wanted to raise exactly that. The Department of Health has just called the police on casualized healthcare workers. Have they not learned anything from the catastrophe of Marikana? If we are to have a premise in South Africa, if we are to say the solutions, whenever workers have some grievances with the department, we call the men in arms to actually shoot them, even when they are lying down on the floor, and continue to shoot them. What kind of precedent are we setting? And what programs. How is the department going to when will the department insource these workers? That's what I wanted to raise here, because it is a cause for concern whenever workers are yearning for a living wage in South Africa. Casualized workers in that situation since 1992, and then you have SGM Bengashe who sent police instead of engaging the workers in terms of what they want, even if they occupy your office. How do you send it without even hearing them out? The next thing, you shoot people and then they are confused. They're going all around in this cold weather like this. What kind of precedent is that? Whenever workers are protesting for a living wage, we open fire on them. So they must explain to us, lastly, Chair, how they are going to insource those workers without calling for the police on them. Thank you very much.
Okay. You know, I hardly touch you, colleagues, but I wanted to tell for you to also check the time for the benefit of the parliamentary staff. I've tried to solicit the questions from Honorable Mpumza. He seems to be having network connectivity challenges. We'll let him write, because I said he can send it. He has not yet done so. So MEC and team, I think if there are issues, then we'll let them do them in writing. We'll give them a response with the other ones. Then the only issue that I have on my side that I feel need to be addressed, it's around the, you see, the Department of Education, MEC for Education, is accounting for the highest number of COVID-19 related deaths in this province, despite them having less than half the number of the COVID-19 cases related compared to the Department of Health. Can the MEC tell us why are we in this situation, the MEC of Education? I think also the MEC of Health will also add to that one. So the other issue that I feel is very critical and key that then we need to deal with, it's around the allocation that you got from the province, from national in relation to the disaster management. On this issue, there's issues that one want to say with regard to accountability. There are challenges that your province has. It's the capacity with regard to financial management. And then that has also happened in the drought project as well. With regard to COVID-19, in March, health was allocated a disaster grants for ventilators and PPEs, and yourself, you are the lowest spender to date. You are at 7%. I think you need to tell us why are you doing to also then address the underspending when the cases that are COVID-related are increasing alarmingly. The other issue, National Department, in particular, COCTA, has allocated you something like 44.5 million, and you have only spent 3 million to date since March. This was for PPEs and ventilators by the Health Department. Then you are given money. Can you tell us why can't you spend this money? And then at the same time, we are seeing numbers of deaths increasing on a regular basis. And then what will you tell the nation? Because you are given money so that you can save lives. that you are not even spending that money. Yes, can you explain to us how we arrived here under the circumstances? Over to you, MEC. This other issue of the shooting of employees, I think the Superintendent General must just become available and tell us what is happening now under the circumstances, because definitely he's the one that is instructed the police to massacre people. So where I'm seated, I'm even worried whether you left the people to be absorbed, Honorable Claire, if they're being massacred there now as you are speaking. Over to you, MEC.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and thanks, Honorable Members, for the questions. With your permission, Comrade Honorable Chair, can I request that MEC for Education, Honorable Gade, will start, then Honorable Gomba for Health will start, then I'll come to respond to some of the questions.
Thanks, Chairperson, colleagues and officials that are present in the session of the NCOP. My first question, Honorable Chair, is why are we opening up schools?
This is National Assembly, Chair.
No, it's fine. My first question is on why are we opening up schools whilst we are on the peak of the virus, COVID-19?
Mr. Fundile, don't say it's fine and leave it there. When the member is raising the issue, a critical issue with you, you just need to retract what you said first, rather than to say it's fine. Saying it's fine at times, it might sound sarcastic. Yeah. So he was raising a critical point, and I've got that responsibility to protect my members in this meeting and give them the decorum that they deserve. Please.
No, thanks. My apologies, Chair.
Yes.
Chair, My first question was on why we open up schools as a province. I just wanted to address that because it's a fundamental policy in education, Honorable Chair. The Honorable Member would be reminded that issues of national calendar in the context of institutions of learning in the country are not provincial competence. They are issues that relate to how the minister conducts the business at a ministerial level. And therefore, provinces can only request deviations in terms of requests, having looked at the analysis of their respective provinces and how do they face in other grades in that particular context. So it's not a matter of a particular province, what I'm trying to say. It's a matter of what then the ministry generally feels and what then becomes the strategy of the Department of Basic Education. Hence, we have a common approach of phasing in grade 12 and 7 and as a first cohort in the entire country. So there is no that much luxury and flexibility in relation to that unless you go for a request on the division as the province have done, Honorable Chair, in relation to some of the challenges faced by education in the province. The second aspect that I wanted Chair to just comment on is on the comorbidities, because we nearly forget to answer that question. One is that, Honorable Chair, we had 5,303 applications, which out of that 5,303 applications, we have approved 1,939 and disapproved 519, and also have got a pending of 1,068 cases. Out of that process, we then secure the substitutes from the Funza Lutshaka project and as well the Matthew Koniwe and as well the unemployed professionals within the sector so that we can have a replacement of those that have been declared to be approved in terms of the comorbidities. We have secured 3,591 substitutes as a province. But lastly on this one, Chair, I would also brief the committee that this is one area that needs a bit of a collaboration, because it involves a number of departments. Because once you talk underlying conditions of employees, what it means then that your decision must undergo two processes. One, they must undergo a process of education relation labor council, and also the public services bargaining council, so that you harmonize the policy environment. Because the current agreement, collective number one of 2020, is not sufficient enough to harmonize that environment. Hence, it is critical for us to ensure that we regulate those applications and be informed scientifically by the reports from the medical practitioners of the incumbents that are applying for comorbidities as employees within the sector. On the issue relating to the deaths, Honorable Chair, we have made an observation generally as the provincial government and says that you have got current outbreaks that are coming out of the infections in the province, and therefore education as a sector is beginning to take a particular detour. A detour that suggests that education is beginning to be managing infections than managing the pedagogy of teaching and learning, which is a constitutional matter in the sector in education. We therefore requested a deviation to the minister not to open up schools on the 6th of July, to open them on the 20th. So that we can observe the peak that the Honorable Minister of Health was indicating that is going to be a storm in the country. We don't put more risk in the sector. And we've done that, and the Minister of Basic Education has granted us on that one. Lastly, Claire, again, in relation to the infections of learners, they are changing day in, day out. Currently, we have got 190 learners that have been infected on the basis of the majority of the ones from the Makaula Senior Secondary School have finished up the quarantine and been declared negative now, and they have come back to the school. So those are the areas that are a bit sticky and grey that has to be managed by the sector in education in the province. On the issue relating to Maclear Primary School that the Honourable Member was raising.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Chair?
You could have found a way to talk to me, you know how, but what is the issue?
No, we are
keeping the meeting back.
We're given two different figures of learners that are infected. The MEC earlier on said it's 489. Now we're told it's 190. Hence, I thought I should interject. I don't know which figure is accurate.
Mr. Fundile, which figure is accurate?
Chair, is correct. The 480 that she is talking about is the one that has been registered in the PDOC meeting that we had on Monday. And I'm saying these figures are changing day in, day out, because today you have got a number of learners being infected, others are out, tomorrow you get others getting to quarantine and others getting in. So he's correct. The figure that is there is the registered one that the PDOC has been reported to. So it's correct. There are no qualms about the figures, Chair. I was just briefing them in the context of what has transpired in the afternoon today. Can I proceed, Chair?
Proceed.
Lastly, Chair, on the issue of MacLeod Senior Secondary School, the Honourable Member is correct. MacLeod is not a secondary school, meaning that it doesn't have the FET band. It doesn't have grade 12. It has got grade 7 because it's an SPS school. Now, on grade 7 learners, across the country, we were having radio broadcasting lessons. We were having television broadcasting lessons. We were having rotational grade teachers collecting homeworks and assignments of learners in various schools according to the timetables as stipulated by the institution that is concerned. So when you talk about the visual lessons, you are talking of grade 12 learners across the province and grade 12 learners across the country. I just wanted to sum up on that one, Chair, that it is correct. Kids are called to collect those workbooks, to collect those assignments, to collect those projects that they have to conduct over a period of a week. But and above that, there are broadcasting lessons that covers other grades outside of the plan about the grade 12, which is a universal plan across the country. Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Is the Superintendent General here of Health?
Yes, yes, I'm here, Chair.
Yes. Can you respond to all the questions related to you?
The MEC has responded, but I have lost time at the time I was trying to come. So I don't know which question.
There was a recent question of community health workers that are in blood bath, so to speak. You instructed police.
Yeah.
And then these are the workers that you have been stuck with since 1992. You didn't hear that question raised by Honorable Stein and Honorable Kress.
No. I didn't, Honourable Chair, I didn't know which questions you wanted me to answer. Now I had that question, so I can answer that one.
Yes.
So the issue of the... Yeah, let me answer.
The MEC has responded. I think it's not assisting this meeting. And I think as an accounting officer, most of the things are technical that the members are asking. You should be the one to respond to than to...
I apologize, Chair. I didn't know which question because I had lost the contact. So let me answer the Honourable Chair's questions. The issues of the community health worker, Chair, is that there is a national process that is at the bargaining council that is making a determination about the final conditions of the community health workers. What the national process within the sector had agreed was that all community health workers must be paid a basic wage of 3,500, and they get 1 year contract renewal. We give community health worker 1 year contract renewal. The second issue on that was that all community health workers must be assigned to a PERSAL number. They all get to a PERSAL number. Then there is a follow-up process, which is an international process of the National Bargaining Council that is making a further determination about the absorption of community health workers. So there is no determination about absorbing community health workers other than the current contract. But that process is an ongoing, and it is between the bargaining council of the sectors. And that's really the status of the community health workers as we stand right now, Chair.
On the issue about National Treasury, note 3, 5, and 8, the note states that, one, all contracts that can be acquired through the COVID-19 must be acquired through the National Treasury Transfers Contract, and they must meet the specifications and the price list of the National Treasury Transversal Contract. In the event that the quantities and the materials you're looking for are not available, accounting officers are allowed to look for bids of amounts and quantities that meet the National Treasury Transversal Contract specification and the amounts that is available there. Subsequent iteration of the National Treasury was that we could then vary up to a maximum of 10% against the national contract amounts. That's what the provinces follows as part of our procurement process. At the moment, every week, we provide the provincial treasury with a list of all procurement, the amounts, the quantities, the suppliers, as part of the oversight process. We're already working with the Auditor General. Yes, Chair.
Are you able to switch on your video?
Yes, Chair.
The nation is watching. So with members of portfolio committees, then if they have got connection problems, the parliament is able to, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Parliament is able to zoom in their picture because they have it. Proceed.
Thanks, Chair. So on the issue of procurement and then oversight, the provincial treasury receive a weekly report that includes all procurement that are related to COVID. And then the Auditor General has started what is called short-term audit, and is already in the department in terms of looking at all our transactions, and he checks with the accounting officer. I have sat with the next Auditor General and to assess the level of risk and provided the areas where I think there could be a problem or that needs to be looked into. And the Auditor General is continuing on to that. On the issue of whether we'd spend 2.2 billion, we have not spent 2.2 billion on the COVID. What has happened is that the National Provincial Treasury has made an appropriation to the department of about 2.6 billion for the covering of costs that are related to COVID. I can send the breakdown of those matters if the Honourable Chair would like me to do so. Thank you.
The officials are done. Can we have the MEC for health and then you MEC as we are getting towards wrapping up MEC Copter? MEC Gomba, you still there?
Yes, my dear. I'm here, Chair.
Sure.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would want to get to the understanding that when the media decides to investigate issues, they do it according to how they would want it. The member is saying, I was there with the scooters in the media. I was not there. But the media was doing its investigation since people were talking. It started with the factory, started doing everything else. It went there, so I was not there. And secondly, I would not want to answer on issues that say scooters were said must be put on hold. What is frustrating me in terms of this question is that I explained to a point of saying scooters are on post-award evaluation. That for anybody would tell that the issue of scooters is not a concluded matter. Hence, I said, there's not even money that's paid about it. So I thought people would understand what that meant. Obviously, there is unfortunately not clear some of the slides that have been jumped in terms of both isolation and quarantine sites. We're quite clear about areas that there are awards that are tabulated in those slides, because I know when UGG was presenting, he jumped some of the slides. Some of those slides are speaking, Chair, to issues of saying there are so many awards in a district, and those are about doing so many beds, those are about doing high care, those are about doing ICU, and the price value of such, which fortunately for us, in following the instructions of the President, are done by Department of Public Works. Today, for everybody who knows Mthatha, there was an old hospital in that before the new one, Mthatha General. That hospital is called St. Henry Hospital. If you go to that hospital today, Chair, you would see the renovations of something from the rubble that's made new to take almost 200 beds just in that one. Secondly, you would go to Mthatha again. Airport hangars, I'm picking on OR Tambo, Chair, precisely that there was mention of OR Tambo and us not actually providing for. Airport hangars in Mthatha, we've got two very big buildings that now are in the renovation of making shift, because Department of Labor said there are no windows. So those windows are being put in. So in a sense, those are part of the issue. However, the member is saying that as we look at these issues, we're not doing anything for 26 years. Khutsong has been built by this government in Matadier. A beautiful TB hospital that when we had to open it, because we are now confronted with COVID, we said we can't get TB. Let's put COVID, and after COVID, then we go back to that. We've got your CPETU, you've got your CMH, you've got all the CHCs exactly in that OR Tambo. So it is unfair to say in 26 years nothing has been done. Yes, one might want to believe that we should have done the rest. And secondly, Chair, on the issue of safe isolation, I thought I explained that we've got NHLS, we've got NICD. When results come from their test lab, they go directly to our own information center. And in that system that I didn't explain, let me just give 2 seconds to explain it. The one I said, we're using cell phones, we're using what?
Sorry, MEC, can I ask the Superintendent General to mute his microphone? You are disrupting the MEC. Superintendent General, mute your microphone. Thank you. Proceed, MEC.
Thank you, Chair. In the process, I explained that we've got a track and testing system. We get the results from the labs that are testing. We immediately would communicate in a form of an SMS to the receiver of results, in particular those positive, because we've got nothing to do with negatives. Some would want to ask them, because I spoke exactly of the Bill of Rights, whether they would want to be enlisted on our program, because we can't force them to. And when they say yes, they are linked to those gadgets in terms of monitoring. But when they say no, we still have foot soldiers in terms of tracers who monitor those people on a daily basis, every morning, their condition. It is for that reason that we are sure that those that we know are not let through the cracks. And exactly that in saving lives. I do not know, Getche, but if they are dealing with it and go to the garden of Ketongaban, they can be found there up to more than 18 years. Oklandelayo, how will see each school does not dignity. I'm sure the member is not saying this good. I don't understand. And secondly, there is a misconception that is going around that seeks to portray the department as having said, is good as well, like Shabank. We never said they are ambulances, and we're still saying they are not ambulances. Instead, what we said, if a community worker might find them, I do not know whether the dignity of a black person is in a wheelbarrow, is in a horse, or another mode of transport, which seeks to actually ensure that the primary escape is whatever. I am not going to, but then again, there's something that is worrying me. To start to think about abantu as if they are corrupt and if they've done anything wrong. I have invited the committee to go and inspect the books about the scooters, and I've explained where the process is. It's worrisome that you may come to this platform on people who know exactly when their hands are on the trigger of government money, and they purport that everybody is. It is very unfortunate, Chair. Thank you.
Anything again?
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Honorable Members. Chair, thanks for the follow-up questions. And Chair, on the point you raised, maybe on the point of decorum, which you raised, I fully agree with you that that point, Honorable Chair, and you said that you want to ensure that you protect the members of the committee. But I would want to also request that you do the same even to us who are called upon to appear before the committee. Because Honorable Tlaba, the general statements and the aspersions she was casting on a general basis, especially you also affirmed the fact that this is, we're speaking to the nation. And therefore, it's not really fair when you put accusations that are not bad. And therefore, I would appeal that, you know, maybe the next time we should get same protection from the chair. At least for members to put on the table issues that at least are fair and they can be supported. And that's my first point. My second point, Honorable Chair, relates to apartheid. I think that no excuse should be used and failure of taking responsibility for anything that represent weaknesses that we have in the province. That is a starting point. But the legacy of apartheid is a reality that it becomes unfortunate even for a black person who carries the scars of apartheid and colonialism should deny. I consider it really an insult then to a white person who benefited in the privileges to deny us a right to refer to the apartheid and its legacy. And yet the Jews have rights to refer to the Holocaust more than 70 years after the Holocaust. So I find it very unfortunate and totally unacceptable that we don't have the right to refer to that history, which is a true reflection, and the whole country and our province still carries scars of the damage done by that system. But none of that should then, we seek to use it to explain any other thing that we should have done. And I just want to put that point as my second point. The third point is that we don't consider that corruption is an issue that there should be competition about corruption. Corruption, whatever its scale, it is totally unacceptable. It is wrong. I'm referring to the point that the Eastern Cape is number one in the corruption. Corruption is not something to compete about. It is totally wrong, whatever its scale. And the third point, the additional point which I want to make on that, I know provinces whose government collapsed and the national government had to intervene and take over because the provinces collapsed. I know where banks have collapsed because of corruption in some provinces. So I'm saying it's not an issue that we should be committing about. It's an issue that we should condemn it and act upon it. But the measures sometimes that are being used, you know, to sort of rank our province, let alone that we're for this problem that is not deniable. You know, sometimes I find it, you know, difficult to understand the kind of measure being used. The issue of OR Tambo, Honorable Chair, the mayor remains, the MM remains suspended there. The intervention that we sought to do was to say, this is how you follow a due process, please correct this. And that is part of support that COCTA should do. And then when people correct that and do it in a proper way, we have the view as COCTA, that is sufficient. There is no need to take further action when people have made a correction in that regard. And these matters are... Come again? The other point, Honorable Mkalipi, she is putting to me that on the message yesterday on the speech at the memorial service, our reckless. Well, honorable member, that's your opinion, and I fully respect your opinion. And I think that I did explain to the committee what the message was about, what you know, the late honorable member represented in terms of his values, and therefore sought to say whoever claimed to love this man who was a humanist has got to be human. That's basically, I think that in that point, I think I've made my point on that point and respect the opinion of the honorable member. And the issue of, you know, Kijipa, There is an MM there, honorable member. You referred to the fact that there is no MM, you know, there's an MM there in that municipality. And I do appreciate that there are challenges of these amalgamated municipalities. Such that as a province, we're currently doing a study in terms of the newly amalgamated municipalities. And, you know, so that post, 2021, when we discuss outer boundaries, we should have a report as to all these amalgamated municipalities and a report that begins to say what constitutes a functional rural municipality in a rural province like our own. What are the characteristics of a functional municipality and an ideal municipality? And we begin to ask, to check, as to whether these amalgamated municipalities are in fact, can constitute viable entities, or the very constituting of them was about to put a poor municipality with a poor municipality and therefore being a collection of poverty. And therefore there might be a case to reconstitute them. But we would want to arrive at that decision when we have done that kind of study. And this is one area, Honorable Chair, I would like us, with your permission, to submit a report in terms of how the 200 million was distributed among the municipalities, including Water Sisulu, because transfers were made for the municipality to fund the transitional arrangement, into the new municipalities. But indeed, there were bigger challenges, honorable member, I take that point. Zigayetu and the rape case, the municipality, the speaker of the municipality was asked, to submit a report in this regard. Because as I said, that the speakers of council are responsible to enforce the code of conduct to councillors. And therefore, the report was supposed to be submitted by that municipality in terms of what is it that they are doing about it. And if they fail, it then makes, it compels the COCTA to then take steps in that regard. The issue of Amatatiela, there is no issue that is in court. We don't have papers. There we've got a DPG. We seconded there, Mr. Mnogoti. He's an acting MM. And there was a negotiations between the former MM and the employer there. a settlement was reached and was sealed and signed. And after that process, there is nothing really that has stopped the municipality not to advertise and fill the vacancy. And they have completed the process and the position will be filled. The only thing that can stop that municipality to do that, it can only be a court interdict. But with the process now underway, with no papers in front of the municipalities, there's nothing that stops them to fill the vacancy. Then the Buffalo City and the expenditure on COVID, again, Honorable Chair, I would request that we submit a written report in terms of that expenditure to the Honorable Committee. Honorable Taba, again, on Amatola Water, but what is Amatola Water? Amatola Water is a water board, like Red Water, like Umgeni Water. They are all under the entities under the Department of Water and Sanitation. They deal with water in the provinces. And therefore, in this instance of Amatola Water and OR Tambo Municipality, they are then become an implementing agent of that municipality, to implement water-related infrastructure as it relates to their own role, governed by a service level agreement between the municipality and the board. Mbindweni, which is the last one, really it remains one of the dark spots in the province, which was published. And as a result, the premier put together an intergovernmental team that includes national departments so that we begin to find a solution as to how can we attend to the pressing needs facing that community in that area. Those are the questions, Honorable Chair, I wanted to comment on, and we'll await the guidance of the committee in terms of when we should be submitting the report. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and you made your statement on the issue of the quorum. It applies both, you are very right, on the matter. Maybe she, Mato, may, when Mom Kize said that I might have not heard it. So if then you feel she's done something that's not okay, let me upfront apologize on your behalf. But then, I know members would love to do follow-ups. We've already consumed Parliament's time by over 1 hour, 30 minutes. And these matters are matters that are ongoing. We still have time. As long as COVID is still in place, then we still have such an opportunity. And we believe next time the Premier will also be available himself for us to follow up on these matters. But those that MEC that you said you've committed to submit them, we can give you to submit them by Tuesday next week. That should be the 22nd. And I told you what is the procedure. I'm not going to allow people to interject me. Please. The minister still has to say something.
Only one thing, Chair.
And to the Chair, you know how to do it. While you know how to do it, so I'm still on the floor, ne? I've never surprised you, Mkhalipi. So then I would like to give the minister this opportunity to say something. Write it to me, Mkhalipi, tell me what is it, then I'll see when the minister finishes remarking whether I'll allow that. But then, I'll deal with that. Okay, it's coming. Minister? Can I hand over to you for now so that you say something? Then maybe I'll propose the way forward. Post that.
Good evening, Chairperson. You're speaking to the DG. I have received a message that the minister had tendered her apology and she had to leave early. So the minister has excused herself from the meeting.
Okay, fine then. Because initially the agreement with the minister was that she was going to come back. I'm aware of that. That's why I said maybe the mistake that I did, you can meet your mic. The mistake that I did was not to check whether she was back or not. I could have done that. It means she's not yet back because she had told me. That's why initially when we started with questions, I said still that she was already gone. It's myself that didn't take the time that she said she should be here. Khalid, raise the issue that you want to raise, then I do the way forward.
Okay, Chase, only two issues. The MMC, the MEC of COCTA forgot to comment on Enoch Mgijima. He responded in all issues except on that one. And also on the MEC of the Department of Health. No, no. It's health. Yes, it's health. No, it's not MEC. It's Nyandeni. When he was responding on the issue of the workers. So we wanted to know if those workers got those contracts in 1992, if that is the case, because 1992 is a long time, is even before the Labor Relations Act of 1995. So he must clarify that if he's talking about those issues of contracts, are these workers have this contract in 1992, Chairperson, because it won't be acceptable.
Okay. On the issue of Enoch Mgijima, let's start with the Superintendent General on the issue of the employees. Then the issues of Enoch Mgijima, I think the MEC will be able to deal with that so that then we can agree on the way forward. Sure. Superintendent General.
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. The issue that the Honourable Member is asking is that most of the community workers that we're talking about, they came in as volunteers into the system. And prior to the negotiated agreement between the parties, they were receiving stipend, and there was a variation in the stipend that we were getting, and therefore there was this particular decision of when the minimum wage was promulgated, they were also asked to do that.